Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spillers After Show podcast. I'm Brian Dunn.
And I'm Robert Hookman Jr.
And we are talking about Spillers 6. Spillers number 6 tonight, Robert.
Spillers number 6.
Yes.
Yet another fantastic crowd at yet another fantastic night.
It really has
yet been. Another fantastic round of five riders, one of whom is...
Is Jenny Irish, our guest right now on the podcast. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, and Jenny, she read her short story, Glass, tonight, and it went over incredibly well. It was a beautiful story.
Thanks.
And a beautiful reading, mind you.
Yes, and the reading itself was excellent, because those are definitely two distinct skills to possess.
They
you
are
know?
Distinct skills.
Once and some, to write it, and yeah.
Some people can have killer stories and, like, you know, be nervous while reading them.
I was nervous.
You were you? Nervous?
I don't actually read, so this is the first time I was
ever
outside of my thesis defense.
Oh my goodness.
I've read.
Well.
Were you aware of that?
I was not aware of that.
Neither was I.
And I don't think the audience.
I should have told you that.
I don't think the audience would. Would we have changed our minds had we
known
that?
No, we would not have.
We would not have. And we would have helped. We would have said encouraging things. Apparently, you didn't need encouraging things. You did fantastically. I don't think the audience would have ever been able to tell. It was one of the smoothest readings and the most deliberate and well-paced stories.
Yeah.
That did not come across. Is
good.
It? Is this a...
that surprises me, but I'm pleased to hear that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's...
Was it for a lack of opportunity, or is...
No, I have had... opportunity and offer, which I of course appreciate. It was a lack of personal desire to ever do that for a variety of reasons. So the last or the first time that there was really an expectation that I would read and that I should read, it was at this wonderful celebratory thing. It was the graduation event for the first MFA I got, and I driving to the graduation event, which was at this fantastic building in Austin that's called the Peacock Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a castle that has peacocks and fountains. My feeling of anxiety and dread just increased, and by the time it was my turn to read, I had just broken out into full body hives.
Oh my gosh.
And they were like, no, that's okay. You don't have to read. Actually, would you not sit with your cohort in the lineup because you look disturbing? You just like to go to the back of the room.
Wow.
Fine.
No.
And then since that, I have not taken advantage of any of the opportunities.
Were you a little nervous that when you showed up tonight?
I was a little nervous, but it was timely, and Spillers is such a fantastic event, which I imagine you guys know and probably hear pretty regularly.
People say nice things.
They do.
We don't get tired of them saying nice things. People say nice things.
They're sincere nice things.
Oh, well, that's great. I feel honored that yeah.
Well, so I've seen so many of my really, really, really fantastic community members read as a part of Spillers. So Tara has read, Matt has read,
mm-hmm.
Tim McNally, Mike has read,
mm-hmm.
and Joel has read, and so both a combination of our faculty and our MFA students, and that's such a fantastic opportunity for our students, and I'm so appreciative of that opportunity for them, and I'm sure you do know how much it means to them to read with their teachers and how special that is, that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of our students, for some of our students, not for all of them, it's their first real reading that mm-hmm. is not something with like folding chairs and 10 people that
yeah.
we've put on as a celebration
right.
in a classroom. This feels very real. This feels, I think, very validating. And that opportunity to be there with their teachers whom they love, whom they respect, and read with them, it's something that they'll always remember, that will always be special to them. And I think our faculty feel the same, that it's such... just a pleasure and so special to read alongside their students in this environment and with this large, welcoming audience. So I'm a huge Spillers fan.
Well, thank you.
Oh my gosh, Jenny Irish just said that she is a big Spillers fan.
This podcast has really turned right around on us.
One of many huge Spiller fans. And I had just seen Mike who is our program director, mm-hmm. Reed, with Catherine, who mm-hmm. is one of our absolutely fantastic MFA students. And they're two people who are just both so dear to me. Mm-hmm. And so it was exciting to be able to follow up on that. And I was able to, there was an invitation to suggest someone else who might read. And I was able to recommend Kalani, which meant a lot to me. She's a very talented writer, and she's also, she's a first-year MFA student. She's a very talented writer. She's also an amazing teacher, and I've gotten to spend the semester watching her, developing her teaching skills, watching her develop her writing skills, and to end the semester this way with her was really special for me. So thank you.
Oh, wow. That's so great.
I'm just kind of floored right now.
Yeah, I am too. I'm not sure that we
had that any of that perspective or
context. Yeah, I don't think that we have.
That's really great to know. I do remember thinking how cool it was, like when we had Michael Holliday and Matt Bell in the same show, in the same set, and thinking how
it was cool.
Cool turnaround that was, that he had to defend his thesis to Matt, and now they were on the same stage. And I think I even commented on it during the introductions. But that's really great to know. I mean, honestly, we're just enthralled by ASU's MFA program. Like just telling Leah Newsom, actually out in the audience, that that program in particular is just a stream of brilliance that just keeps coming our way. And I don't know what you guys are doing over there, but
keep it up.
We have really great students. Can I brag about students for a minute?
Please.
So one of my jobs is to, or one of the pleasures of my job is to try to track what all of our alumni are doing and stay on top of it. I can't, because they're doing so much good stuff. So this year so far, 13 alumni have books coming out.
Wow.
Our alumni are regularly getting, you know, Fulbright fellowships, NEA grants. They're just doing really amazing work, and it's being recognized, and that's exciting and appropriate.
Yeah. I have noticed, I actually read your Facebook post the other day where you were talking about that so many alum have stuff.
Yes, that was just in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, I was trying to track all of this positive news that was coming out for a number of our alumni, and I was sure at a certain point I was missing some of them, but it's also application season, so I'm working with all our undergraduate students on their MFA applications as they get ready to apply to schools in December and January, and we also have all of the MFA applications coming in. So it's just been a kind of crazy last couple of weeks, and at the same time, all of our alumni had all of this news coming in, and I was trying to keep a running document of it, but I was sure that I had seen another thing, and was just missing things.
Yeah.
So that Facebook post of I can't keep up that listed a number of amazing things that had recently happened for students, that was just in 2 weeks.
Wow.
I also noticed that at no point in there did you actually turn that around on yourself. even today, I saw an ASU MFA post that was like, tonight, all these great people from our program are reading. And I was like, and Jenny Irish.
And your name was left off.
I had to add the comment because I'm like, I'm pretty sure you wrote that you wrote that post.
I did.
I had a suspicion, and I had to just turn that back around and go, wait, and you.
Yeah. Why did you leave yourself off of that?
So you are a massive supporter of your students, and I just can't imagine, like, I mean, it's such an incredibly rare thing in anyone's life, I think, to have someone around who is such a fanatical cheerleader for them.
Fanatical cheerleader sounds a little scary.
No, not in a scary way. Okay, so I'm a writer, and sometimes I use the wrong word. maybe fanatic.
You engage in hyperbole. That's all right. It's one of the tools.
Yeah, well, such a strong supporter. Let's go a strong supporter. And so just from my perspective, I look at those students, and I think, wow, that must be, like, what a cool thing to, like, not, I mean, because they're all doing something really brave and, like, trying to get through that program and trying to learn how to write in front of each other. And there's nothing easy about that, I'm sure. And so to have people around who are just so incredibly supportive and so willing to put themselves on the line as well and to share those moments is just really cool.
Yeah. Well, so I think something that it is scary to potentially share your work. I try to avoid sharing my work with anyone who I know in any capacity, always. Like, I don't mind strangers, and I'm happy to complete something and send it out into the world, and that feels good.
I understand this temptation.
But I don't necessarily want anyone whom I know and care about or whom I work with in any way to ever really see anything ever.
It's the audience you know is the toughest audience.
It is. It totally is.
Yeah, yeah. You want to please them so badly, and you want them to give you that positive feedback.
But something I was going to say about our students and about programs, and I know I'm talking a lot about our students and the program, but we have fantastic students and a fantastic program, and they mean so much to me, and working with them means so much to me as a person and as a writer and as someone who cares about art and believes that it can do positive things in the world, which is something that I think is really important for us to acknowledge and believe in right now, is that we have these amazing students, and a lot of programs, I think, encourage students to compete with one another and encourage students to think that that's how they have to go about this, that the way that you're going to be successful or the way that you're going to be recognized is by, in some way, being the best. And that's not the relationship our students have with one another. When we talk about being a writing community, I think we really are a writing community, and it's about respecting and appreciating one another and, you know, thriving together. So something that Mike sometimes says, who is our director, is that competition is the enemy of joy. And our students don't compete. They support one another. And in that, I think they all grow, and they have these very valuable, lasting relationships that continue outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And actually, on that note, Brian wrote the about Spillers blurb in the beginning of the chapbook, and his kind of central thesis to that blurb was about the potential for art in an otherwise kind of divided universe, and at what point does it become more important for us as artists to try to step up and do something about that with our art. And I noticed you kind of alluded to that theme a moment ago. So what's your take on that? Do you see a lot of students kind of trying to use their work in some sort of healing fashion? Do you see that mindset generally?
I have seen a lot of students turning to creative work, turning to art, in the aftermath of the election.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching the next day, and it had already been planned into our workshop that we were going to be looking at some poems together. I was teaching a freshman seminar, which I don't normally teach, but I just happened to be. And we ended up looking at some poems by Sally Ball, another member of our writing community, looking at a poem called Lost One, Kept One, that talks about a number of anxieties that a person must deal with in their daily life, but the importance of holding on to a sense of hope in the midst of all that, mm-hmm. and that hope in itself is a purpose and a motivator, and you have to have, each person needs to have some belief that the good that they're doing will potentially do good. And even at the moment when you doubt that and when you question that, one of the things from the poem is, you know, every time I brush my teeth, I turn off the faucet. I'm gesturing all of these things, which I just realized no one will see. I'm gesturing turning off the faucet. Every time I brush my teeth, I turn off the faucet. But there's still not going to be any water. But do I stop? Or do I keep doing the thing that is intended to do good, with the belief that my small effort toward goodness means something? And ultimately, even if that small effort toward goodness is only sparking hope in me that I can be making a positive change, I need to hold on to that. I can't give that up. Mm. And the student's response to that poem, which is much more complex than the small part that I just pulled out of it, talking about brushing teeth and turning off the tap, the student's response to it was immense, And it opened up this space for them to really talk about a number of anxieties that they were feeling and a number of questions that they had. And the conversation was never directly political, though I do think there was some relationship there. And that is my sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it allowed them to start a conversation that I don't think they otherwise would have known how to start, and to begin engaging with a lot of anxiety and fear that they were experiencing. And I don't think that they could have gotten to a place without the poem as a kind of conduit to start that conversation. And I think that's an incredible value of art, and not just the literary arts, but I think the literary arts do allow us this access to talk about difficult things that we might not otherwise be able to discuss. I also think they have an incredible opportunity to place the reader in a position that expands their understanding, that expands their empathy. Writing is a solitary act, but it's for an audience. It's something that's intended to be shared. And there's reasons that it should be shared. And so I've lost my, as I talk, I've lost my train of thought, but I think that there's an incredible value in art always, but I think that art has an essential role right now. And something that I've also seen in working with, again, freshmen coming into college, not knowing what to expect, is a lot of excitement about poetry, which startles me a little bit.
Hmm.
And there have been some articles talking about how 2016 is the return of poetry, which I would contest. I don't think that poetry has gone away, but there is this exciting, I'm just going to go with exciting. There is this exciting surge of poetry suddenly being something that goes viral, that people read something and they respond to it, or it strikes them as so true that they want to share it with everyone they know. And then someone they know has that same experience and wants to share it with everyone they know. So I feel like we're seeing that a lot on social media, and I'm seeing students respond to that. So they have this access and they have this attitude toward poetry in particular, which is, I think, exciting, and it's something that they want to be, this is something that they want to have as part of their lives, and they're looking at it as a method of communication and a means to share their thoughts and their feelings, and as a way to open up discussions with other people, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. It's what we need right now, for sure. Well, I think it's obvious that in addition to being an incredibly talented writer, you are a very passionate and amazing educator as well, and just to hear you talk about the program and your students is very touching and very moving, and we really appreciate you coming to Spillers and reading tonight, and for being our guest on the podcast, Jenny.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Ooh.